Good morning, everybody. Hopefully you are having an outstanding Tuesday morning. I made some adjustments today, so that will make it a little bit more interesting, I guess, for me. Anyways, let me try to get everything lined up, because apparently I made a mistake this morning. Anyways, welcome to Break the Cycle with DSD. I am your host, Dwayne. I'm not an attorney, nor am I a therapist. I'm an individual much like you who's gone through a rough experience, developed some techniques that I had to use myself to get my life back, minimize the drama, repair the damage with my kids, and just get my life back. And I share that with you to help you do the same. Remember, only a licensed professional can diagnose an individual with a personality disorder. So leave that to the professionals. Absolutely learn about what goes on in these scenarios so you understand how to deal with these type of people, so you can recognize the characteristics, utilize the traits that are effective against those folks or to interact with them, and don't squander your credibility by going out there and telling people that you figured it out, you know what they are. If you like what's going on here and you want to support the channel, consider becoming a channel member. Scroll on down below, hit the join button, and when you do, you get special badges, custom emojis, your name's listed in the credits, access to member-only events, and a member-only Discord area. If you want to get a text notification when I go live, and that should have gone out today, just text DSD Live, all one word, to 844-598-0012, and that will get you on that SMS list. And when we get into the discussions, if you want to call in and participate, the phone number is 1-424-373-5483-1424-DSD-LIVE. Or if you're outside of the United States or it's just too expensive of a call, there's a web interface that you can also utilize to get into the show. And on that, you know, that went fast today. Anyways, hopefully you guys are doing well. I got a couple people in here. If the text notification went out, please let me know. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I reconfigured my system to automatically set my devices into the Apple calls it focus mode, but basically do not disturb. So that was automatically set. So I do see the text went out. Anyways, hopefully you guys are doing outstanding this morning. I am dragging, but I do have my coffee. So hopefully you have something as well to help get your day started. I see a couple people in the comments. One thing I want to say is if you want to get a hold of me as I get wrapped up in my cords, just do, if you're on a computer, do at DSD. That'll highlight my name and put question in there. Looks like moderator Debbie is in the show, so that's outstanding. So I am going to jump into the topic. This came up yesterday. Let me see if I can hit the right. If I can hit the correct button, Cy Scooby, who's been with us for a long time, says, tell us about taking back your power from the evil beings. And this is a great discussion point. And I think it's something that we all struggle with. And the interesting part about this is there really is a way for us to take our power back. And the sad reality is we really do give a lot of our power away. We just hand it to them. You know, we're like, here you go, take it all. And a lot of it's wrapped up around kind of with what she was saying and how it was said, right? Tell us about taking your power back from the evil beings. There's a bunch of smiley faces, but let's say for a moment that isn't like, hey, tell us tell us about taking the power back from these evil beings, as opposed to tell us how to take the power back from these evil, you know, beep, 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 beings. And anger is a big part of that. Coming to terms with the emotions all associated with this and finding a path to effectively deal with those is really critical. And you may be saying, especially if you're early into this, it's like, well, what in the world does that even mean? Well, when you're in the mind space or the head space that you are so fixated and focused on that other person. Every waking moment is ruminating about the past, being irritated about what happened, what they've done, what drama they have caused. And you find yourself, and I was in this case, you find yourself, you know, you wake up in the morning and all you're thinking about all day is that person in the scenario. And you go to bed and it's lather, rinse, and repeat. And if you're really lucky, if the odds are forever in your favor, you also have really crappy dreams that just perpetuate that, so you do not get a break. Well, effectively, when you're in that mode, when you're in that mindset where you're constantly giving your power, your thoughts, your energy, your emotion to the other person, they have captured you. Even if they're not even around anymore. Let's say you had a bad experience, someone ran you out of town, you're living in a completely different location, and you're spending every waking moment thinking about somebody who doesn't care about you. And it's like an energy vampire. You're providing them that sweet, sweet narcissistic supply, and they don't have to do anything. It's like I don't know why I used to say this. I used to say it as a self-licking ice cream cone. I don't even know where I got that from. If anyone's old like me and that sounds familiar, let me know where that came from. I come up with some really weird sayings sometimes. But the thing is that when you are fixated on, I thought that was off the screen, when you're fixated on them, you are trapped to them and with them. And this part, this transitional phase in this entire process, there's a lot of complicated parts in it, but this is a really tough one. And this one took me a long time. And as Cy is talking right here, I remember probably about 6 months, maybe a year period of time where every day I'm like, how do I break free from this? Hence the name of the podcast. How do I break free from thinking of this and ruminating about this in every waking moment? It just drives you crazy. The wise chat manager says, don't let them live in your mind rent free. See, and why, and that's a great comment, Wise. And what I'll say on that, or add to that, when you realize that this is what's happening and you're letting them live in your mind rent free and you're giving them free space, when you're trying to push it out of your mind and you're trying to take the power back, if you kind of remember this type of comment that Wise just threw up on the screen for people who are on the audio version listening to this and are watching this in the replay, it can be very empowering when you realize that just little acts of defiance, right? Like even just saying, I am not going to let them live in my mind anymore. That can help perpetuate or help you continue down that path of purging them out of your life and which ultimately facilitates you taking your life back. That is my semi-quick version on that. Let me see if I can hide that. That did not work. Great. Some of my buttons don't work. It's not right. All right, let me close it. I wonder why that didn't work. That's weird. Very interesting. All right, let's see. It looks like there's a couple of comments. Bianca says, love the topic. I say take your power back with my children, age 5 and 8, all the time. Walk away, do something else. Need to take my own advice. Man, you know, and that comment right there is actually pretty powerful too, because, again, I've said this before, a lot of the answers to all of this are incredibly simple and straightforward. However, when you add the emotion into it and you add in what the what the effect of the person doing whatever toward you or to you, to your kids, depending on what the scenario is, it's really hard. Like I said, I mean, I spent a good year, probably a good year, I'm just tired of being connected and wrapped up into to that person. But every day I couldn't do it. I had to hit emotional rock bottom. to get to the point that I was able to finally say enough. You know, I mean, it was one of those things where it kind of just happened one day. One day I finally literally, you know, woke up and then figuratively woke up and was able to say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. If I don't break free from this, if I don't take my power back, I'm going to effectively die, or it's going to ruin my life. And that, unfortunately, is the sad reality of this. Let's see. I see a call coming in, so I'll grab this in a second. So let me double check and see what else folks were saying in the comments before I do that. Oh, Bianca said, I got the text reminder. Good. I'm glad that worked. Thank you so much for that. John Boston says, you can't give your power away. It will drag you down big time. Yeah, and it's crazy, right? Because then we're effectively contributing to our own demise, you know? And the other sad reality of this is that I think everyone here, even if you're early on to it, then you're experiencing it and you're living it. Or if you're beyond it and you've gone through it and you've hit that emotional bottom and you finally, you know, are moving toward the other side. It's one of those things that's really tough, and it will drag you down. It was absolutely dragging me down into the pit of hell. All right, I am going to attempt. I'm going to attempt to hit the button, which didn't work. Oh, hold on. I also realize I need to change my my speakers. So let me do it manually. Hello, welcome to the show.
Is this Heidi?
Hey, Heidi, how's it going?
Are we live?
We are live. You are on the air.
I am so excited, and thank you so much for all you do. You know how much I support you and
thank you.
And Alex and all that stuff. And you're right. I mean, it's bizarre because I'm like 12 years close to free, and I just feel like I had hit that. Like I'm having nightmares and all those things, and it's like, where did this come from? You know, and it's like, you know, getting out of that hole and having the support of you and every. You know, everyone else is very helpful, but digging yourself deep out of that hole is very difficult. So my question to you is, how do you do it?
You know, great question. And actually, you know what? You probably have seen this before, but I'm going to throw it up on the screen. On my main YouTube page, if you scroll down, the first playlist, which is Mindset for Narcissistic Abuse Recovery, this set of videos, and they're the old videos, is kind of the framework for it. I mean, if you have kids, hybrid, no contact, obviously is critically important. And then it's like the absolute thinking of recognizing what you're dealing with and reminding yourself of that, right? So that gives you the reason why this has happened. Because I think a lot of times we all get caught in the scenario where we're just like, why is this so bad? Why did this happen? What, you know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. Cause it doesn't make sense. It's insane what we're going through.
It's crazy making behavior. I
mean, yeah. And they do a great job with it. Right. Cause we're all here trying to recover from being not crazy. And then, I mean, so like this, I mean, right? It's like you do the, I mean, so I would recommend you go back through, and anybody going through this, go back through that playlist. Cause I set these videos up kind of in the order that I thought would help. That kind of helped me in my process. Is first was the absolute thinking, like recognizing what I'm dealing with. Like I know I say don't diagnose people, but if you think or strongly suspect that somebody has an issue, just in your mind, personally, be like, that person is NPD. Like for me, I was like, my ex is, you know, has diagnosed blah, 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 blah.
Whatever.
Right? Yeah, whatever it is, but to myself, right?
I've gone there.
Okay.
Yep. And then I did that.
Black hole thinking, part of that is then you got to stop ruminating about what they're doing and thinking about, you know, it's like, well, you know, they're not upset. They're not affected. They're living their best life. They have a new relationship. They bought a new car, or are conversely, they're not doing anything. They have no responsibility and no consequences. You got to kind of drill it into your head to stop basically thinking about them. And then the rest of these videos, you know, just hit on it. Like, you're in love with the illusion. Don't reach out. Don't get sucked back in, because most of the time they will try to pull you back in. Maybe not with a complete hoover, but just enough to try to get you to think about them. I mean, if they think that you're moving on, 90% of the time they're going to go like, hey, look at me. Hey, I'll go full screen. You know, hey, look at me. You forgot about me? Oh, think about me. Here, let me send you a text, or let me send something over, or let me try to get you to get sucked back in. And then having bad days, I'll go back over here so you can see it. So it the part of it, the real reality of it, is that it's an iterative process that unfortunately is a struggle. The other thing that was incredibly helpful for me is on my resources page, and I honestly, in a million years, I would have never, ever, 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 ever expected that I would have even entertained one, therapy. I found a good trauma therapist that helped.
Yeah.
This rebuilding book, Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends by Bruce Fisher and Robert Alberti, was really helpful. But honestly, I think one of the things that really helped drive it into my subconscious were these crazy hypnosis files. And I never thought I would have ever even considered using that. And I would listen to, like, this. I have listed on the pack, and I'm not sure if they completely have them. This was probably 8 years ago now. But, you know, Mend Your Broken Heart, Getting Over Divorce, Letting It Go. I mean, I would listen to that and Unrequited Love daily. I mean, I would get up in the morning.
Unrequited Love, yeah.
I'd get up in the morning, sure. And I would play it when I was at work. And if I had a break, I'd sit in my car or sit in my office, shut the door, and play it and just drill this crap into my head. And the really frustrating part, I guess, is that after about a month of doing all of those things together, that's when I started to see improvements. And unfortunately, it wasn't like massive. It wasn't like I woke up one day and it was like, oh my God, I feel like $1,000, you know, or $1,000,000 or whatever. It was like after a month, the way it manifested for me is I would, like at the start, like a month before, I'd get up in the morning and like all, well, maybe three few months before, like, you know, I would get up and all day and all week would be thinking and ruminating about the scenario. I was going to say situation. I was trying to say scenario and situation together, and that was a train wreck. But anyways, so no, but what would happen is I would start doing that, right? So every morning I would do it. Then I would start doing the absolute thinking, and I would listen to those things. And I'm like, no, this is happening because, you know, NPD and yada, yada. And what I started to notice after about a month is that instead of 100% of my time focused on basically driving energy towards, in my situation, the ex, it turned into 95% of the time it was doing it. And there started to be good moments, right? And initially they started out to where I'd have like little moments, like maybe a couple of minutes of like a glimpse of the other side of this. And then something would happen. It would drag me back down. And then it just slowly started to increase. You know, after a while, it was like, oh, wow, hey, I haven't thought about the ex in a few hours, right? And then as I'm thinking about it, that drug sucks me, drives me back down. And that's the thing. It's one of those things that you have to actively work on it, right? If you do not put in the work and you do not actively do some of what I'm talking about there. And
you won't get the results.
You won't. I mean, you absolutely
and
won't.
Here's the thing. And this is truth, and I know I'm on Dad's channel, but you know what happens. Like, so it was a severe DV, whatever case, blah blah. And I like went through 12 step. I mean, I went through everything, and we were free. My daughter and I were free. 2018, if they call it, it's really truly abduction during, because I filed paperwork. That happened 2018. I didn't get her back in 2020. And then we're dealing with all the COVID and all this, the inpatient therapy, all that. And then June 10th of 2022 came in, assaulted me again, and I don't even have the balls to even, because I know if something happens to me, it's going to be worse for her. What's he do? He puts on a one-way plane ticket elsewhere. And so I'm like, man, like, you can't, like, this cycle has to stop, you know? Like, we were, the minute I get on my feet is the minute, you know, I kept myself, like, I never put my daughter in a position that was unhealthy. I never dated. I, you know, just working single mom, whatever. And, I mean, I have just been so screwed by the system. And yeah. So it's like, I'm like, dang, you know, but I can't let myself fall back into that whole, you know, poor me syndrome or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and I'm in a healthy relationship, and I'm very happy for you and Deb, by the way, as well. But, well, you're welcome. You deserve it. And as do I.
And, absolutely.
But I've got to go back to court. Now I have nothing left. I mean, this guy has, like, burned me on every angle. Okay, whatever. I'm not too worried about that. I'm worried about, like, that whole family dynamic is so toxic. Like, it would make you actually literally be sick. And so now I'm just trying to, like, get my mental health in order and just go and file and do it, you know?
Right.
But here I have a kid now that is gone. I had no usage of my right hand for about 3 weeks, which is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if I do certain things, who's gonna get abused? It's gonna be my kid. And so that's where I'm having a hard time.
So here,
'cause my poor kid.
Right. And the sad reality is having children with these people is the worst, because there's that connection you just can't break free from. So let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. So right now you are not seeing your child, your daughter, and they're with their dad 100% of the time. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so what happened is, yeah, we went to, I filed paperwork just because he was not following orders. He split. Then in 2020, COVID hit, and then, you know, the amount of mediation and settlements that he would not show up to, you know what that's like. They will never do it. I mean, you know, you and I both know what Alex went through. Same thing here. And so then so then he files an emergency, blah, 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 bullshit crap. And then my attorney ends up, like, even though he's been paid in full, he gets off the case because he's a settler, not a litigator, which is fine. And then I end up in some, like, twilight zone of a COVID, like, online by myself. And my attorney tells me, like, who was not my attorney, but I still, like, I didn't want to burn any bridges at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, you could just PDF everything over to the district judge that, you know, during your hearing. And I'm like, okay, well, I get there. It's Chin's case, Pearl Chin's case from, like, 2012. Sure shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and so then all this happens. So then he gets full everything, right? Go to reunification. He shows up, drunk, stoned, high, whatever. The reunification therapist, who I actually like, but she lost her license a few times. I'm not going to mention names, but I actually liked her, and she did. And my daughter and I are good.
Right,
like, we're solid.
Good.
And I mean, we could watch Bad Moms, like, as a joke. Like, that's how hysterical the whole process is for us. But then he just will not, like, he truly is so delusional that he truly believes that he is the only parent. Like, he does not, there is no there. If you know Chris, you and I both know Chris, we love her.
Yeah.
She's awesome. There's no there. There is, like, no one home. And I'm dealing with that. And it's like,
Yeah.
And I can't take the abuse anymore. I'm being totally honest. I can't. Like, I am done. After 17 years, I cut bait and I left that guy within like a year of having my daughter. So we were only married for like a year, let's say, a year or two. This guy will not stop.
How often do you see your child now? What's your custody arrangement now?
Nothing. He's got full everything. I'm supposed to go in and do everything. But I know the minute I file anything, this is like when God says, don't like.
How old is your child?
She just turned 14. She was taken at 10, got her back at 12, went through reunification. Then I was supposed to go back to court, but I was too afraid because I was doing it all by myself.
Right, right.
And I didn't know where to start. You know how that goes. And then, I'm like, okay, cool. I want to like at least like, you know. So it happened on June 10th this year. My dog had a seizure and he's already killed my dog. I mean, he killed my dogs. I mean, this guy is like, this guy's an FBI record. I mean, this guy should even like, this guy should be incarcerated.
Yeah.
Because I lost my father. I have no daddy issues, but I have a happy life and everything worked out great. But I would never want to take away the relationship of her dad. Like, that's just not how I roll, you know? But I'm at a point now where for the health and the sanity of both of us, she's failing everything. She's a hot mess. I mean, we're looking at bullying. We're looking at all kinds of stuff now.
Well,
right?
So let me ask you this. You are planning on going back to court to get some time back with your daughter, correct? Are you not sure?
I'm doing it, but I'm so afraid of doing it. I'm working with, like, in Colorado, it's a money state. It's not really like a dad versus mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a breadwinner, so. That's really what comes down to, kind of, sort of.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm just trying to figure out the best appropriate measures in terms of how to go about it. Because I don't want to just, like, waltz in and get, like, the civil protection order. And if I start doing these reports and what the family has always used.
You know what? What I would say is, I mean, it seems like you've tried that type of approach before and it hasn't worked for you. So I don't.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that with the protective order type thing and because it sounds like
he choked me out. He choked me out 2000. This would be
now. Did you file anything against that?
Oh yeah. Did he file that order? No, that was in 2011.
And whenever
2012, okay. And then from then on, he's been using CPS, and his entire family uses it because they know how to work the system.
Okay, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. So what I mean is you've tried to – this is, I mean, not completely the same, but very similar, I think, with all of us. We all go in thinking, okay, well, we're going to tell our story. The system's going to be fair. They're going to see it, and they're going to be fair. And what you've experienced from what I've gathered on this call so far – is that hasn't been the case, which is kind of what happens to everybody, right? We go in, we think they're going to see it, and then the next thing we know, we get whacked upside the head, and it's like, what the hell just happened? So what I'm getting at is you trying to use the system in that way hasn't worked. So I would encourage you to pivot and change the focus, right? I mean, like, basically go back, and instead of bringing this other stuff up, just focus, because it hasn't worked, focus on, hey, you know, I need to be in my daughter's life. This isn't appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, we need some type of time, whether it's, you know, back to what the custody was before or some type of thing where you get some time. Now, are you guys in the same area or did you say you're in a different state now?
No. So,
you could effectively do 50-50 or close enough?
No, we're not. Okay. No, right. No. Because what happened, I ended up like, it was, when you almost get killed, I mean, you just stop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? I moved to a, within the same, originally I moved within the same county. Mm-hmm. Then I, of course, because you get so screwed financially, okay, if you're the breadwinner.
All right.
I had to live with my parents.
Right. Let me just, okay, because we'll run out of time here pretty quick. Sure. So let me just say this,
yeah,
right? So, okay, so you don't have a scenario, and what I was getting at is you don't have a scenario to where 50-50 custody would make sense. So what you have to do is say, okay, whatever does make sense.
Right.
So if it turns out to be like, okay, you know, if you guys are far enough away to where you get, you know, like the summers and extended holidays, I mean, try to get the normal thing. Because what you're going for right now is reoccurring time with your kids so that you can start helping them, give them a kind of like a safe space almost, to be able to have a break from the chaos. And that's, and I would say, be try if you can. I know emotional, see, I know for me personally, going back to court and going into a major slug out battle would be really tough emotionally for me. I mean, I may come across as calm, cool, and collected on YouTube, but I mean, the reality is this stuff is incredibly stressful. So what I would say is this: If you can afford and pay an attorney to think about this on a more reoccurring basis, do it that way. If that's not the case and you have to represent yourself, then just really try to put yourself in a very pragmatic, almost disconnected, to where you're thinking about the scenario not as if it's your case, but as if almost as if it's someone else's, and go in and try the best. And if you get, I mean, the reality is, and I think part of the fear and what you're struggling with is, you know, even if you win, you're going to lose because they're not going to go away. You're not going to go in and have some victory and your ex isn't going to just slink off into the corner and never bother you again. The likelihood that that is going to happen is pretty damn low. But that's the reality. I mean, unfortunately, when we have kids, we can't get away from these people. I mean, to be perfectly honest, full disclosure, my youngest has a little over a year, and I'm counting the days to where I do not have any legal obligation to deal with my ex ever again. You know, I mean, the reality of this crap is real. I mean, it's not, and other people don't understand it. They don't understand, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've had people look at. Yeah. Nobody does. It's like they're just like, why can't you just let it go? Oh, you're blowing it out of proportion. Oh, excuse that invalidates our experiences and our emotion and our feelings, which makes us feel even like we're losing, more like we're losing our minds. And that's, I mean, and that's the approach. I mean, the other thing I would just say in the back of your mind, just keep reminding yourself that every year this is getting closer to being over. I mean, once your daughter's 18 and out of high school, unless you're in one of those states where everything continues into college, you know, it's kind of on her. And if she decides to, you know, pick up and move in with you legally, that she can do that. If she decides to stay with dad or to join the military, I mean, she can, you know, do her own thing, but you just got to get to that point. Does that make sense?
It does. And thank you. I don't want to hold up, you know, this. I appreciate that, of course. It's just, you know, it's like emergency time, and it's like, darn. I just like watched like one of Alex's video about getting to the emergency situation when you just haven't done anything because you're so afraid, and that just sucks. You know?
Yeah, and that's real. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I completely understand it.
I just can't believe this person is that like unhealthy that just will not stop. Like, yeah,
they don't.
Like, you're really going to weaponize a child? Like, really? Like,
absolutely. I know.
When I have two healthy parents live a mile up the road, I have healthy siblings, I have a healthy boyfriend,
they don't care.
I mean, what?
They don't care.
They don't care.
You would think that they would look at it and go, oh my God, I'm hurting my own child. Yes, I love them. And you hope that they love their kid, and let me get them in the most stable environment possible. Nope. They will burn everything to the ground just so that they can win and they can manipulate and control their own image and narrative. It's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. And it's like, and so I just like, so I just had to step back, take my emotions out of it.
Yeah.
And just like go big deep and just say, you know, you got to fight, honey. You got to fight. You got to, you got to fight. And it's just like, it's, and you can't, you know, in the whole victimization role, not, who wants to live like that? No.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the problem is that my kid gets hurt. That's the most important.
And the hardest part on it. All right.
And that's the sadness. So I will let go of this conversation and I will listen. Thank you.
Yes.
I really appreciate and honor what you do and you have done so much for me. So I thank you for that.
Well, thanks for saying that. I appreciate it. All right. Let me see if my buttons actually work, which I'm sure they won't, because why would they? And no, they didn't. All right, so Aaron in Oz says, with total compassion to the caller, I'm hearing a scattered, destabilized thought process caused by narc manipulation that I can very much relate to. I think we all can. You know, and it's frustrating because these people, by the craziness of the scenario and the situation, they send us down this path that we kind of, well, not kind of, we basically spiral out of control, and then we start looking like we're the ones with the problem. And the reality is, like the caller was saying, these people do not utilize the same thought process that everyone else uses. Anybody else would feel guilty about what they were doing, about causing this drama, about the hurt that they're causing their children, and want to do something different. I mean, I would assume everyone out there listening to this right now has been working on trying to figure out how to make themselves a better person, a better parent, to try to minimize and mitigate the effects all this has on our kids. And to be perfectly honest, you know, we are not good at, I mean, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. I've made tons of mistakes throughout this process. I mean, I continue to do, especially if I get in a scenario where I get really tired, really stressed, my nerves get rubbed raw, my ability to deal with this crap starts going down, and my fuse gets shorter and shorter, and I'm more prone to making mistakes. Now, most of the time nowadays, I can recognize that, and I can remove myself from the situation excuse me, so that I don't cause more problems. But hey, there are times, even in the last 5 years, where I have made mistakes. It's really tough. Well, and I guess I didn't hit the right button. I forgot I have to double hit the button. Let me see if I can look at the comments and see where we're at. Heidi says they never apologize because it's never them. That is so true. They gaslight you. They turn it around and point at you. I took and gave, then I got sick with cancer and I couldn't be there for them, both physically and financially, and I got discarded. Oh, this is the reality. And the sad part is I think most of the time these people will tell you that what they'll do in these scenarios. I mean, I even had mine. She at one point I had hurt my back and she's like, well, you know, if you ever get really hurt and I need to take care of you, that ain't happening. And I kind of thought it was a joke. Later, I realized, oh my God, that was 1,000% honest. And the sad part is, right? I mean, you support somebody and you're thinking that there's loyalty and love and respect and a commitment. And then you realize that it wasn't true. And it, like in this, what Heidi's talking about, in this situation, whenever you're not fitting their needs, well, let me say it this way. It's like an energy vampire, right? They feed off of you, and whenever you no longer provide that sweet, sweet, sweet supply, well, then you're of no use anymore, and they move on to the next victim, and they don't care what you've done. I mean, hell, that was one of the things I had a frustrating or messed with my head is, you know, two decades completely supported this person, And it was all on a lie. So very, very mind-bending experiences we all go through. iTumblr says you can never show vulnerability in any way against a narc because they will absolutely use it against you. They have zero compassion. They might pretend to, which will mess with your head, you know, because then you're questioning, well, you know, they're not that bad. They were nice in that one moment. And then, you know, basically do something horrific later. Let's see. Oh, see, I never saw this. Why says, question, the movie Misery comes to mind with the ex taking care of you. You know, so here's an interesting thing. That movie, Gone Girl, and some of those other ones, I've never watched. And then when I heard what they were about, I didn't want to watch them. You know, and maybe I should, because maybe it would be a good data point to use as an example of toxic behavior and experiences. But to be perfectly honest, I don't like watching that type of stuff that reminds me of, you know, those scenarios. John says, wow, my ex did the same thing. When I got sick, she told a relative of mine that she wasn't going to stay. At the time, the kids were around four. Same here, 2 decades of her living for free. Yeah, it's really weird, right? Because, I mean, normally when you hear stuff like that, like when certain things were said, I made a joke out of it because I was like, oh, that ain't true. You know, I mean, because I was thinking, well, if something happened, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. And you know what? And I want to take that as a moment. And maybe this will be self-serving, but I just want to... I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this. I think it was a friend. I can't remember who I was talking to. But for me, you know, after the 2 decades when the marriage was falling apart, had the ex said to me... Let me get this off the screen. Had the ex said to me, came in and said... Dwayne, I'm sorry, but I have this diagnosed personality disorder, and this is what it means, and these are the reasons why I've done things the way I've done them for the last 20 years. And, you know, and there's probably limited opportunity for this to get better. If it would have played out that way, more than likely I would have stuck around. I would have definitely stuck around longer because, for better or worse, right? Fortunately, and I say fortunately because it was the only way that it gave me the wiggle room to be able to get out of this relationship. And for anyone who doesn't know, I'm actually the one that filed. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And the reason I got to that point is because she was effectively telling me with her words and her actions that she didn't give a crap about me, that she never did. And the entire 2-decade relationship was a farce. Now, she would deny that, and every once in a while in the past, we don't talk anymore, so it's not now, but, you know, in the first 5 years or so, there were times where, of course I love you. I can't believe that you say I never loved you. You know, that whatever. And that would screw with my head in the beginning. But anyways, my point is this. Because she had set up a scenario that... with her answers saying, no, you know, everything you're saying is all crap. I didn't like you. And what she did, and then she was really trying to just be mean, but basically she was saying, well, you know, I don't want to really be with you physically because you're not attractive. You're bad at this and that. And I mean, just cruel, 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 cruel comments. And the way she said it, I'm like, okay, if what you're telling me is true, this change happened within 3 to 4 months of us being married. So then I have to take that back to then when I was the, you know, best, I mean, what I was like 19, 20 years old, the best shape of my life, just out of basic training. And I was just like, oh my God, you're effectively telling me that you never cared about me. And that was how I was able to finally break free from that. So I don't know if anyone can relate to that or not. Let's see. POP said was just Googling the Gone Girl. Must watch for everyone, but basically be prepared to be or prepare to be triggered the entire movie. And man, that is one of the reasons why I have not wanted to watch that movie. All right, I have another call coming in, so let me clear this off the screen. I don't even know if I should try the button, but I will. I will try the button. Yeah, absolutely didn't work. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dwayne, it's Bianca. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good. I'm on my way to work. I wanted to call in because I've been thinking about your topic this morning a lot lately. And yeah, taking the power back. Like, it's a little bit of a paradox to think that letting go is actually taking the power back.
It is. It is. It's hard to wrap your head around that, but that is actually true.
I think it is true. I think that's what's so hard about it is that you get wrapped back in thinking that your death grip on the situation or whatever is actually the power. But in letting go, I feel like you get the power back. And I think that's what I've struggled with a lot in my own situation. And I'm currently kind of in a court situation myself. But I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think that that's the power back.
You know, and isn't it amazing, Bianca, how it's so simple, the idea, right? I mean, like, you know, letting go to take your power back. But, you know, when people say that to you, and when people said it to me, oh, you got to just let it go, you know, you're like, I can't let it go. And then it takes getting beat down so much from this to where you finally realize that if you don't, it's going to drag you under. You're not going to break free from it. I found that amazing, and I've seen that time and time again with other people, that it's just, you have to get to that point where you get to that realization that you really get it, right? That you wake up one day and you're like, oh, that's why I understand now. And I mean, again, like I was talking about earlier, it took me almost 3 years to finally get to that point where it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. So,
yeah, I feel like I'm at about the 3-year mark myself, and I feel like it's starting to sink in for me. but I also realize that the death grip, or what, you know what I mean, like the hanging on is about fear for me, where I'm so afraid of, you know, losing my children or the thought that they're going to be harmed in some way. And it's this fear that's way out in the future.
Yeah.
It's not even really realistic or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just this idea in my head. But living for the moment for today, I can feel like I start to let go a little bit easier when I bring myself back to the reality of today.
Well, and it's so tough, you know, talking about that fear. I think that's what catches a lot of us, because there is that underlying thought fear that whatever the ex is saying is going to work out. Or they're going to convince the courts that you're a horrible person and take custody. Or they're going to convince the kids that, you know, everything that you were lying or whatever. And you're constantly thinking about, okay, how do I combat that? You know, what do I need to do? I have to combat it. I have to face it and confront it and deal with it. And the sad reality is most of the time that is absolutely the worst thing you can do, because it makes it worse. You have to be very deliberate on how you do it. And just for everyone watching and listening, Bianca and I I've done a couple collaborations with her, and I got on the screen right now her podcast, Peaceful Co-Parenting. And you're now running you're doing a show on the Father's Rights Movement channel every other Monday, correct?
Yeah, we just did one last night. Thanks so much for
giving
me the plug. I
No problem.
I do feel like you do realize maybe it takes 3 years, because I'm like, at that point, 3 years, it takes 3 years for you to realize that the attempt to say, control the situation or wield your power, if you will, don't work. They're not
not going to fix this person. The court can't really help me with my situation. And so it's like the best thing to do at this point is to let go, take the power back, and get some peace back in your life.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I just wanted to call and say good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for sharing. I'll have to check out. Hey, before you go, who did you have on yesterday? Who was the guest?
Actually, another podcast, two podcasters. They have a show called How to Split a Toaster. And nice. It's a great podcast on divorce and saving relationships. An attorney out of Tampa, Florida does it. And it's just we were talking about letting go of your ego, which in divorce and co-parenting. And so I think there's some parallels here to your topic this morning. So it was just on my mind.
Outstanding. Isn't it crazy how that works? How it seems like topics just kind of manifest out that are all what, and typically it's exactly what people need to hear. And it's at the right time, the right words. A lot of times that's the way it works. Well, have a great day. Great hearing from you. And we definitely have to catch up later.
You too, Dwayne. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Anyways, you guys got to check out Bianca's stuff. Now the thing actually worked. That's funny. So this is the podcast. I don't know if I can pull up. If you guys remember, I had shared the link whenever I was on her show. It might have been a month ago or not or so. So that was good stuff. Definitely, I'm definitely impressed with the amount of resources that are out. I mean, when I started, it felt like to me that like I was the only one that was providing content on this topic. And now there's a lot of resources. So the best part about that for you guys is you can pick and choose and find the source of information that resonates with you, that helps you to get your life back. Because at least in my mind, that's what this is about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love for my channel to explode and become super popular and you know, become my full-time gig. But at the same time, this whole thing was started to help you guys get your lives back. If I'm a part of that, outstanding. And if you move on to someone else and they help you achieve that goal, that's what I want. Because I remember the dark days of this and absolutely felt that there was zero chance that I was going to be able to break free from this. So every time I hear a story of someone succeeding in that experience and getting their life back, I am a happy person. All right, so I'm going to check out some of the comments. Southern Bell Rising says, I can relate to the caller. It is fear for me, fear for my child especially. I eventually have to accept that I must take this choice for self-preservation and my child needs me. Guys, you know, every story is that we all have, it's very similar, but it's also very personal and very individual. And what I mean by that is we're the only ones who really know what the best course of action that we can do and that we can take. Now, what I would say is try to remember that for the most part, we are the single lifeline that our kids have of potentially breaking the cycle on this. Because if they do not have an alternative view of what the world is, there is a high probability that they will have the daddy issues or the mommy issues or whatever. Like even for me, I mean that you'll enter life basically with these childhood wounds that you're going to take into adulthood. And the unfortunate reality is 90%, I'm pulling that number out of my butt, so, you know, a large percentage of the time, we are going to replicate that scenario in an attempt to prove to our subconscious that we are worthy of love and that the parent, person, or whatever was wrong to, you know, and that to fix it. But the problem is when you go into life with that mindset and that sitting in your subconscious, the reality is your picker is messed up. And what you end up finding is the person that best, you know, manifests the same characteristics. You know, it'd almost be like, let's say hypothetically, you know, you guys have probably heard of like the aura color things, right? And I don't know much about this, so if this analogy doesn't work, I apologize. But it's almost like we can look at somebody and we can see the problem that they have. We can see their color. And instead of finding someone that's like a good, you know, is that we would know is good, we find the person that matches with what the other, what our, what the source of our issues are. And we get in those relationships and end up replicating everything to learn and grow from it. I wish to, I so wish that I could have figured this out when I was a child and never experienced this and picked someone better and had that dream relationship and marriage and all that stuff and family, as opposed to what I'm dealing with and what you guys are all dealing with. So anyways. Oh, Heidi, this is so true. Heidi says, thank you. I accidentally stumbled on your channel. There are no coincidences. That I completely believe. It is crazy how things happen, and it's weird, right? I mean, I've come to accept that is a true thing, right? So for anybody who that's how that happened, I'm glad you found me, and I hope it helped. Oh God. I was thinking about talking about this. Maybe I'll talk more about this tomorrow. POP said, want to hear anti-co-parent? Attended Corbin's funeral. If you guys, the rant video I did the other, a couple weeks ago about David Henderson and that scenario where his son Corbin was dying of cancer, and mom was like, well, it's my time. You know, you don't have any rights to see him. So, you know, sorry. I shouldn't even say sorry, but I'm being sarcastic. And he had to go to court to force to get time. But anyways, he went on to say they had two separate funerals for Corbin, and it was awkward, as you would imagine it would be. And from what I heard from Eric, she, when they did the obituary, didn't even include the dad, like left him off, you know, talked about the new family, the new stepfather and all that kind of stuff. It's these people are sick. You know, I mean, it's been kind of the reoccurring theme throughout this particular day's show, how they just don't, they can't stop and just be human. It's really, really, really tough. So, oh, this is a better way to say it. I hadn't thought about this. Defy Dad said, DSD, being on the same or known frequency, little new age, but I get it. Yeah, I understand it. I don't quite understand, like, when they're like, raise your vibration. I don't really, I mean, I get it. I understand the concept, but I don't understand, like, the, so is that my frequency? Then I don't know. It'd be neat if you could feel it and see it. I don't, apparently some people can. I'm not one of them. Wow, we are down to the last minute. So let me just double check if there's anything else. Let's see. John says, Dwayne, that is interesting. You mentioned that with childhood. My ex repeated exactly what her parents did and blew up the family just like her mom did. And she was a young girl then. And the reality is that that's exactly what happens, right? I mean, sometimes they break free from it. Sometimes they just replicate it. So on that, I think if I hit the correct buttons in the correct order. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it, and I really do want to thank the channel members. Thank you so much to the people that scroll down below, hit the join button, selected a tier, and are supporting the channel through that mechanism. It really means a lot, and I really appreciate it, because you guys help keep the lights on and keep this show going and help keep me dedicated and focused to do this. All right, take care.